This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 4037 for Tuesday, the 23rd of January, 2024. Today's show is entitled, What is Overlanding? It is hosted by Kovmo and is about 8 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, we talked to George of Southwest Idaho Overlanding about his obsession with overlanding.
This is Kovmo for Hacker Public Radio, and today I have the pleasure of being with George from Southwest Idaho Overlanding. He's got a YouTube channel, link below. I've had some interest in overlanding for quite a few years, and I see that there's a lot of different ideas of what overlanding is. So I've got George here. I'm going to ask him, George, in your opinion, what is overlanding?
Well, overlanding to me is basically what would have been called in the olden days car camping. So basically you're going from point A to point B and you're basically driving overland. Obviously if you're on waterways you'd be going over the ocean, but if you're driving across the land then you're overlanding. But yeah, it's point A to point B using a vehicle in general. Some people can use bicycles, or I've even heard of overlanding with scooters, and then of course you got people that have the full-blown rigs, but that's all unnecessary equipment for somebody that wants to start out with overlanding.
So as I hear you out there, excluding bicycles and motorcycles, what I've got gathered from being on the internet is that you need at least a $60,000 vehicle to start off overlanding. Am I right about that?
No, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that like to buy their gear, but in general, if you're a camper, really, and have a car, you can overland with just camp gear and a car, because basically you're just traveling from point A to point B. What I like to say is that if you're going camping, you get in your car, you take your camp gear, you drive somewhere, and then you set up and you camp for a day or two, and then you get load everything up and come back home. Overlanding is more, you put your camp gear in your car, you drive to point A or point B, and then you unload, camp overnight, and then you load it back up in the morning, and then you go to somewhere else. That's basically what you're doing. You're going place to place, usually, when you're overlanding. And it could be anything, you know, it's just a place that you might have to stop because it's getting late, and or it could be a planned location that you want to camp at, and then, you know, just keep moving, you know. To me, camping in one spot gets kind of boring after a while. You know, some people like to fish, I like to overland.
All right, several times there you mentioned your camping equipment, so I'm assuming that means you've got to have a rooftop tent, you've got to have a scottle. You've got to have a ginormous cooler attached to a solar panel so that you could be out there for that length of time. Am I understanding that correctly?
No. I mean, some people might want you to think that because they want to sell you gear. But in all actuality, if you just have a sleeping bag and, really you don't even need anything to cook. If you take food that you don't need to cook, I mean, basically, overlanding is going from point A to point B, and maybe point C and D and E, just using your vehicle, whatever vehicle that might be, whether it's a motorized vehicle or moped or whatever. There's a bunch of different takes on overlanding, for sure.
So, now, because you're going to be out in the wilderness, away from everybody, I assume surviving on your own wits, you probably want to have the newest state-of-the-art equipment with you. What kind of equipment do you carry with you when you go out on your overland trips?
Well, I mean, I'm not the bare-bones person by any means. Not to say that you can't, but I mean, I'm not spending a lot of money on a vehicle and my camp gear. I'm basically using an old Coleman stove that was built in early 1960s. I'm using just a basic sleeping bag that, was under $100. I built myself a trailer, which might be a little extravagant for somebody else, but for me, it's perfect. And let's see. And the vehicle, you could, like I said, vehicles is preference of whoever wants to do the overlanding. You don't have to have the high-dollar vehicle to get you from point A to point B. The main thing is that you know that it's dependable and can get you where you want to go. If it's not dependable, then I probably wouldn't recommend overlanding unless you just, stay on pavement, which is a thing. You can overland on pavement as well. And some people think that you have to take dirt roads and stuff to be overlanding, but you don't have to. That's just a personal preference of people. So,
all right. Very interesting. Tell me, do you have any big projects out ahead of you in your overlanding adventures?
Well, yes. I've had a channel for a few years now, and we've traveled a lot of terrain. And I have people that have been asking me where these locations are at, and often I keep those kind of close to the heart because they're places that we don't want overran. But I felt that I needed to give the overland community something to look forward to, so basically I've been putting together over the last, in the last few months, really hard, but over the past few years, I've always thought it would be kind of cool if we could traverse Idaho from the west border to the east border using as little pavement as possible. That's something that I prefer personally, is two tracks and country roads, forest roads. So I've been putting together a what I call the West-East Idaho Overland Route, and this year I'm putting the final pieces together and making a full run this fall, and then hopefully, if everything goes well, we will be releasing some information throughout the winter, and hopefully we'll see some positive feedback early next, it'll be spring of 2025. So, yeah.
Well, that sounds really exciting. If the subscribers to HPR were interested in learning more about overlanding, where would you send them?
Well, you can type in overlanding on YouTube, and it'll bring up a lot of different overlanding channels. Basically, you're going to have to pick through them and find ones that you like. Some of them are more gear-related, and some of them more trip-related. And most of them will have newer vehicles than I have. So, my vehicle is 40 years old, so it might even be more than that. It's pushing 50 years old now.
Wow.
So, but that just proves that you don't have to have that fancy new vehicle out on the trail. A lot of people ask me, how do I drive an old vehicle out on the trail? And I was like, if it's dependable and I know it's going to get me to point A to B, why not? So
exactly. Well, thank you, George. I appreciate you coming on the show today. And I would like to recommend that anybody who wants to keep this channel up and running, please put out an episode. Thank you very much. This is Kuvmo out.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.